between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys had a great Easter weekend. Hope you guys got to have a nice service, eat some good food, and get right with the Lord as we move into a new week, final week of spring practice for Alabama. Chase, has really flown by, man. We're already at that point. We're approaching A-Day, just several days away. This weekend, Saturday, 1 p.m. kickoff. Is the time. Now, again, it is not televised, unfortunately. I know we have a lot of fans of Alabama football and also a lot of listeners on the show who are all over the place and aren't really able to make it. So, unfortunately, you guys will have to, I guess, rely on maybe some, I don't know, videos or things coming out of it. But I am looking forward to A-Day this weekend. Hopefully, I get to see some of you guys there. I do plan on being at A-Day, and normally I'm kind of like on the field area or even maybe around the gate. Who knows? Maybe we'll figure something out, Chase. We don't have like a live show planned, but maybe we should have looked into doing something like that. We will plan on doing that in the fall, which would be good. So for all you guys that do like to come hang out with us when we do the show live Fridays before game days, hopefully we'll have a good thing for you this upcoming fall. Anyway, in terms of what we got for today, this past weekend we did have scrimmage number two. It was on Friday. Came in the afternoon after we finished up on the show. So it was nice being able just to go out there, not have to worry about rush up there, then rush back. I thought that was going to be the case and realized the schedule was perfect for us. So we got off the air a little early. Baseball had a game, which speaking of those guys, I want to give them a shout out for their third straight ranked series win with the series win over Oklahoma. They were on the road. And listen, they've turned things around completely, Chase. Matter of fact, I want to say, the new top rankings came out for college baseball, and we're now top 10, number 8 nationally, which is a big deal. And this comes just about, what, 2 or 3 weeks after we kind of were questioning what was going on with the baseball team when we were talking with Gray Robertson. They were having some struggles early on, but it seems like they've kind of, you know, hit it in gear now that they've got into SEC play, and, you know, they've been really doing a great job, top 10 team right now. So big shout-out to those guys. And, of course, you got to mentioned the women's side of things. The softball team, Chase, big time series win over Texas, number one ranked Texas. Sorry, Digger. I know that one's going to hurt. They did get the first one, right? They beat us down the first one. I think it was like 9-1. Kind of, I don't know. I guess maybe had a little bit of a wake up call for our softball team because they went on to take the next two matches and ultimately won the series. So I wanted to give a quick little shout out to baseball and softball. We don't cover them a whole bunch. We will talk a little bit more about them over the next few weeks as spring practice is winding down, unfortunately. Don't worry, though. We'll have plenty of football talk. We'll be breaking things down. A-Day being an opportunity for, you know, everybody to see, right? Well, I'm sure that discussion will go on for another week or two. And plus, we've always got plenty of things coming at you. UFL is going on right now. I don't know, Chase, if you got to catch some of those games. But continue to be impressed by the product that the UFL is putting out. I mean, the Stallions, they dropped one last night. A very, very close one. I think it was like 22-20, something like that. I didn't catch the very end of it. I was watching most of the game, though. But listen, I mean, I've been really impressed with what I've seen out of the UFL, and I definitely think I'm going to stick with it over the next several weeks, especially with spring ball coming to an end. But just know we've got plenty of things coming at you. We'll line up plenty of interviews. We'll be talking football even through the summer, the dog days of summer. We've got you guys covered, but we got to be where our feet are, and that's talking some Alabama football. We will get into a recap today about scrimmage number two. Like I mentioned, I was up there, got to really put my eyes on things for a minute. I was there from pretty much start to end. Came away with a number of thoughts, even made a little bit of a recap video on Saturday that I posted here on our YouTube channel, which did really good, by the way. I think we've gained like over 100-something more subscribers just on the channel alone, and I just want to say welcome into any of our new listeners because of that. But As you guys know, we rock and roll. I'm going to just kind of piggyback off of the nuggets and intel that's out there. You guys know how I am, man. I just, out of respect of the team, I just don't like being the guy, you know, at practice, at scrimmages, and then coming on a radio show and broadcasting every little detail. However, there's plenty of details that have been announced and kind of been spreading and going around. So we will talk about a lot of those nuggets, a lot of that intel that has come out. And then we'll also hear some from Kalen DeBoer, who spoke to the media following the second scrimmage. And we'll definitely break down some of the things that he said. But definitely came away with a number of thoughts, and we'll dive into that. I know you guys are all curious about that, so we definitely will do that here coming up on the show. But first, I want to check in with my guy Chase, man. Chase, who's behind the glass. Hope your weekend was well, man. Talk to me. How's everything going this Monday for you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's good to hear your voice, Christian. Happy Easter to you and your family. Everybody out there hear my voice, but you had spoke on it. Big win for a softball. Sorry, Digger, but it's definitely, it's huge. I was at the game on Thursday, and Texas showed why they were number one team a little bit, but then Patrick Murphy, he definitely lit something on their butt, and it changed the way they looked at it, and they weren't afraid of their pitching. They weren't afraid of the bats. They really came to play, and shout out to everybody that showed up to Rose Stadium. I heard every loud cheer. My ears are still ringing. They were loud and proud for Alabama, and I'm happy for them, and now they're the number one team in the country. So, you know, shout out to Patrick Murphy. But, yeah, busy weekend. You know, church got sanctified, you know, some good food. So, but it's good to be back, and it's good to hear your voice again, Christian.
Always, man. I appreciate that. I didn't realize softball moved up to number one, so they're currently ranked number one. We basically hijacked that spot from Texas. Did I hear that right?
You got it correct.
Dang, man. And just to think, man, if a year or two ago, people were saying, it might be time to move on from Coach Murphy. Thank God you don't listen to the few percent that were pushing that narrative. Because, I mean, talk about, I say a turnaround. Listen, they've had a couple solid, you know, past couple of years. Not like they haven't been, you know, bad. It's not like they were bad or anything. But they've really found a way to score a lot more points. I just keep thinking back to the past couple of years. The bats just weren't as hot as they needed to be. But man, they've done some really good stuff. The hitting has been phenomenal, and they're just overall playing some really, really good ball. So shout out to Coach Murph, man. I need to shoot him a text and get him on the show. That way we can show him some love, give him his flowers, and get him to break down some of the good stuff that they're doing. But man, that's cool to hear, man. Number one softball team currently. Now they got to keep it up. Again, this isn't you don't want that to happen where you peak, you beat the number one team, you take over that spot, and then, you know, things start to kind of unravel a little bit. I don't think that's going to be the case, but hopefully they can keep their head on straight, keep that momentum rolling, and keep doing the great things that they've been doing. Want to give a shout out real quick to our friends over at R&R Cigars. Remember, guys, if you guys are in the market for those premium cigars, or you're just looking for somewhere to go watch some of these things, whether it's baseball, softball. I mean, I'm assuming you'd probably want to go to A-Day, but maybe, yeah, because you can't watch it on TV. But if you need a place to go hang out before or after A-Day, just whatever it might be, and you like, you know, cigars, you like drinks, they got over 160 bourbons, R&R Cigars is the spot for you. Make sure you guys check them out. 2703 Gary Fitztree's where you can find them here in Tuscaloosa. Make sure you also check out that website for that big discount you get when you use that code Miller's Edge. Just type it in on the website, code Miller's Edge, get you 20% off plus free shipping if your order applies. So I always urge you guys to check that out and take advantage of it. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. So if you want to smoke on the same sticks that the players smoke on after defeating Tennessee, well, now you know where to get them, R&R Cigars. Let's do this, Chase. Let's go ahead and hit this timeout. Stay on schedule. Hit it a little early because I'm eager to dive into this. We got to recap scrimmage number two. I know a lot of people have been talking about it. It's been plastered all over the internet, man. A lot of people, I guess, in attendance, sharing nuggets, intel, all that good stuff. So we're going to recap it. I'll give you guys my thoughts. We'll hear some from Kalen DeBoer, piggyback on what he had to say, talk about some of the things that we want to see in this final week of spring practice as Alabama gears up for A-Day this weekend. And then again, that will be wraps for the spring. So we'll only have that to go off of, Chase. So hopefully somebody, now I don't know how they're going to do this, but hopefully somebody is able to record a good bit of A-Day, because maybe we can break down some quote-unquote A-Day tape, which I'd imagine they're not really trying to permit people to record it. Probably why they don't want to stream it in general. That way people can't just go back and really do this stuff. But I wouldn't mind having a copy like that. Imagine if they did televise it. You guys know we love to break tape down. That would be amazing. So maybe we can work something out where we have some clips that we can kind of break down after A-Day to kind of keep that thing going. Because we're all going to miss spring football when it leaves, man. So we got to find something, which we definitely will do. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, we begin this second scrimmage recap right here on the Miller's Edge. Don't go anywhere.
Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
WTBC. All right, Chase, we're going to talk about scrimmage number two. It took place Friday afternoon, kicked off around 2 o'clock or so. They really, you know, got into it a little bit later, but made my way up there. Weather was solid, a little bit of an overcast at some point. Sun was there. It's kind of in and out, but regardless, some good football took place. A lot of, you know, just, you know, 11 on 11 action, guys really getting after it. And, you know, being able to kind of put my eyes on a number of these guys that I hadn't really gotten to see as of recent was kind of nice to, you know, really help come to, you know, put my opinions together, right? Because, you know, normally I get to get up there a lot more, but I hadn't been able to nearly as much as I normally would. So this was, you know, probably first time in a minute. But I will say I did walk away with a number of thoughts, and I'll put it like this. I definitely think there was some good that was done, but I'll be the first one to tell you there's definitely, you know, ways to go with a number of things on this team. Definitely not a finished product, which, you know, is to be expected. We're only in the springtime. So some room to grow, without a doubt, in various parts, really everywhere pretty much. And that's probably the case for every football team in America. But there were some things that we definitely can build off and hopefully bring along with us into the fall as we gear up for this 2026 season. So, Chase, I'm trying to think of how we should do this, because I know we've got the Coach DeBoer press conference, and I really want to listen to that. I don't want to listen to the whole thing because I know it's like 10 minutes and we've only got so much time on the show. But I at least wanted to piggyback off of some of the things that he talked about and kind of go from there. But I guess I can kind of just kind of weave in and out. Maybe if there's a point or two we want to hear from him and talk about, we can do that. But I do know there are several clips that we posted on our Twitter. And I'll kind of start with those since those are kind of fresh on my mind. So let's start with the offense, right? So there was a lot of talk about the quarterbacks. Coach DeBoer had made the comment about, you know, his quarterbacks not having their sharpest day, which it happens. It's spring. You know what I mean? I don't think it's anything to get too concerned about. I know a lot of people maybe hear that, and some people kind of freak out, or they hear, oh, somebody had an interception, and they immediately start saying, oh, like, for example, you know, I saw several comments where they heard a guy threw an interception. They immediately jumped to, hey, we don't want to roll with that guy because we don't want to go down the path that we went down with Jalen Milroe, which I hate to break it to you guys, but doesn't matter who wins a quarterback job, there's going to be turnovers. I mean, there's no quarterback in America that just does not turn the football over. Now, there are some that are more prone to them than others, but Chase, I don't know where this narrative is being driven as if like one is just like completely more turnover prone than the other. Like, yeah, the one might have, you know, a couple more here or there, but I wouldn't classify like one guy's turnover prone and the other guy's not. In fact, in the scrimmage, I mean, without getting too many details, I mean, both guys were responsible for turnovers. Both quarterbacks were responsible for some issues. Both guys had some really good throws. Both guys had some throws that they want back. You know what I mean? So it just seems like people kind of have these narratives that they form or these opinions that they form. And I don't know if it's because it's coming from, you know, people that are talking about it outside. I don't know. But I'll just say this. I wouldn't classify one guy being much more protective of the football than the other. Now, you guys have heard me talk about it. Like, I'll be the first one to tell you, just like last year, you know, as a young quarterback, it's expected those guys are typically probably going to find themselves having a few more turnovers, right? And I'm talking like Keelan Russell, for example, like last season in practice, you know, it was common that he would throw a couple turnovers here and there because he's still learning. He's still developing. It makes sense. And you got to think about it. He's still a young quarterback. I mean, he just got on campus, what, about a year ago? So he's still kind of, you know, developing there. But I will say Coach DeBoer commented on the command that he's had and how he's a little bit more up to speed, a little bit more comfortable when it comes to play calls, getting guys, you know, lined up, which all that is very important. But I think both guys need to continue to progress in terms of just their reads, the decisions that they're making. And I think all that will come along. But you got to remember, we're still early in this process. I mean, we're what? I guess this is the fourth week of spring ball. We're wrapping it up. But still, you got the whole summer period, which you have to remember this, too. I mean, the quarterbacks get a lot of good work during the summer. Now, trench play is a little bit different, right? You don't have pads. I mean, you can go out there and do walkthrough stuff. And we used to do one-on-ones, you know, defensive line versus offensive line. But, I mean, quarterbacks, you can go throw the football whenever. I mean, these guys are going to be throwing with their receivers. They're going to be getting, you know, a lot of reps on air all throughout the summer. So they'll keep progressing. But I will say this, just kind of my analysis building off of Coach DeBoer. And again, I'm not going to sit there and get into specifics. I'm just kind of going to piggyback off of what he said. I would say both quarterbacks, you know, played well, played relatively well. I know it seems like I might have bias here. I promise I don't have bias, but I think what I saw from the scrimmage was really what I've been talking about in the sense that, you know, just, you know, Keelan Russell, I'm like mixing Keon Keeley and Keelan Russell together. I apologize. What I saw from Keelan Russell is the same things that I've been seeing and talking about over the last year. I mean, the guy is special. The guy's going to make some really nice throws. I mean, he's got a very lively arm. The way it comes off his hand, I mean, it's just the dude is a very talented player. Now, what we talked about with being a young guy, I mean, there's going to be some mistakes. He made some mistakes, just like you guys saw in the highlight video. I mean, there's that pick six and the intel coming out. I'm not spilling any beans there. Jordan Edmonds made a nice play, broke on the ball. Probably was staring down the receiver a little bit too much. I think it was, like, across the field. So, like, those are, like, learning lessons. You know what I mean? Like, we can build off of that stuff. It's not necessarily time to panic. It's not that, you know, people are trying to put this like label on one of these guys or both as if they're turnover prone. No, that just happens. But he had a number of really good plays that I was just really impressed by. And it's exactly what I kind of, you know, expected out of a guy like that. A guy like Austin Mack, same kind of deal, man. I mean, he's a good player. He does some really good things. Now, I would say he's a little bit more inaccurate at times, similar to what we've been talking about. I know when we had the film guy on here, we both saw that on tape. I know when he broke him down, he kind of said the same thing. Some of those misses, they're like kind of unexpected misses. You know, some of that kind of stuff still there, which needs to be cleaned up. But overall, I thought, you know, both guys can build off of some things that they did. And one thing that I will point out is, I mean, you know, I don't even want to say this because I feel like people start running with like the whole, oh, well, the athlete thing. Because somebody mentioned that with Keelan in the comment section on one of the videos. As if, like, you know, oh, he's just a more athletic guy. Granted, I will say, I mean, he had one time where, you know, takes off and he's just running. And I was like, man, I forgot how good of an athlete he is because, you know, what really makes him special is his arm talent. But he does have some sneaky athleticism where I forgot how athletic he was, Chase, to the point where I was like, man, I mean, he this dude was moving. I don't know what his 40 time was coming out of high school, but I don't know. He looked faster, even faster than I saw him last year. I don't know. I was impressed with that. But yeah, overall, I thought they had a solid day, but definitely some stuff they need to build off. Neither of them are where they need to be, you know, in terms of going and starting a football game. I mean, I can say that. I think they both have a ways to go until they're there, but we're still early on. in this whole process. The running backs made a little video on that, kind of commenting on, you know, Kalen DeBoer's press conference where he mentioned Kevin Riley first. I'm sure you guys have already seen all the intel coming out about that, man. Kevin Riley, really impressive. I spoke on him. I've been talking about him here on the show. I felt like he kind of has been, I don't know, flying under the radar. You know, you got EJ Crowell coming on to campus. A lot of people excited about that. AK Deer, second year. Daniel Hill dropping weight and looking to improve off of some of the good things that he did last year. But I kept saying, man, Kevin Riley is a guy you probably shouldn't forget. I mean, if you go and watch the tape from last season, you know, he's just got something a little bit different than some of those other guys, at least, you know, compared to the guys last year. And I thought Friday, he had the best showing out of all the backs. Now, that doesn't mean that he's automatically just going to be, you know, running back one come fall. I'm not saying all that. I'm saying in terms of Friday, you know, and not just like numbers wise, not like stats, like what he's producing. I'm just saying from an eye test, right? The burst that he showed, you know, the vision, finding holes, you know, getting through those holes. I mean, you know, almost breaking things off. I mean, he had a very solid day, and he flashed like he did at the number of times that we got to see him last season before he kind of got banged up towards the end. So I was really impressed with Kevin Riley, but other guys did some good stuff too. I mean, and you got to remember too, not everybody's going to have the same amount of carries. Not everybody's going to have the same amount of, everything's not going to be even, right? Some guys might be in working with the ones, one group, others might be in with the two. So you got to take all that into consideration as well. And I don't even know in terms of like how many carries each guy got, but you know, AK Deer, you know, Daniel Hill, everybody did some solid stuff, but in terms of who kind of flashed the most, I would agree with Coach DeBoer without a doubt. Kevin Riley had a very productive day on Friday. Then also, the freshman Trayshawn Brown, he was impressive. Now, I don't know if I would go as far as saying like, and I would say in terms of like some of the flashes that he had, like it was impressive, especially if you're talking about somebody you didn't really expect as much. I know he's been doing some good stuff this spring, but we're talking about a young running back who all the attention is on the other guy that came in with EJ Crowell, but he's been very impressive. But I wouldn't go as far as, I know I've seen some stuff, people kind of making it seem as if he's like killing the competition, like it's not even close. I don't know where that intel came from. I didn't see that, but I did see a young guy that definitely did some really good things, and I think could be a little bit of a sleeper that could step up and end up being, you know, very solid when all the attention seemed to be on the other guy coming in. But now that the other guy's banged up and EJ Crowell and Trayshawn Brown's getting himself some opportunities, he's been making the most of them, and he definitely impressed me with some of the reps and things that he did in the scrimmage. So we got to do this. We got to hit a timeout. We covered the quarterbacks. We covered some of the running backs. When we come back, we'll continue this breakdown and recap of scrimmage number two. Again, just piggybacking off some of the intel coming out, some of Coach DeBoer's comments, but we'll keep discussing the offense when we come back. Then we'll slide over to the defensive side of the things that I definitely want to talk about. And we'll hit y'all's questions, comments, and concerns. I know you guys are just kind of sitting back listening to me right now, but at some point when I wrap this whole thing up, I would love to get y'all's questions answered. And if you guys want to call in, I think we're freed up today unless a passer Payne jumps on here. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program if you guys want to get on the phone lines and discuss it. And we'll do that all when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Pain and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at
andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
Essentials Choice 55, $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
All right, we're recapping scrimmage number two. A lot of intel nuggets and all that stuff has been coming out already over the weekend. We even dropped a little recap video on Saturday. If you haven't checked that out and you want just a quick little 15-minute rundown, feel free to go check that out at some point. It's on our YouTube channel. And again, we do stream live every day that we do the show Monday through Friday. So if you haven't already, make sure you check us out on YouTube or on X or on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as we stream the show 11 to 1. Every weekday. So make sure you guys check that out if you haven't already. Let's continue on with this scrimmage recap. Now we'll stick with the offense, right? We hit the quarterbacks, we hit the running backs. Now let's move on to the wide receivers. Coach DeBoer was asked about the wide receiver group following scrimmage number two. Had a lot of high praise for Noah Rogers, a transfer out of North Carolina State. I made a quick little cut up with thanks to Jaisha, who was at the press conference for us. And she got that clip cut up for us, and I posted it and kind of just shared my thoughts on Noah Rogers, who I can definitely attest had a really strong showing in scrimmage number two. Very consistent. He was very productive in the scrimmage, made some really nice plays. But I think what really has popped out, and not just in scrimmage number two, but just over the course of this spring, is he's really stepped up as being a guy that's been very reliable, very consistent, a very productive, you know, option. In that wide receiver room, and that's really important, right? I mean, we're talking about a room that was limited to maybe like four or five scholarship wide receivers at one point just a few months ago. And it was important that we brought some guys in that were going to be able to help try to, you know, add some more production to that wide receiver room. Remember, Jeremy Bernard, who was, you know, one of the most, if not the most consistent guys in that group last year, moves on to the NFL draft. Isaiah Horton transferred to Texas A&M. You were left with Ryan Williams, who is, we all know, he can be a phenomenal player, right? We just got to get that consistency back and get probably some confidence back in him, which scrimmage number one, that was there for sure. And then Lotsier Brooks, who we all are expecting to have a really strong sophomore campaign. But outside of that, we didn't really know who was going to be that third wide receiver to step up. Derek Meadows still was on the roster. They brought in Sadarian Morgan. You know, both young guys that you're still kind of like, all right, Rico Scott still on the roster. Definitely, you know, I guess we'll say confident in one of those guys stepping up. But it was important to bring somebody in. They went and found Noah Rodgers out of NC State, a guy who, you know, was a five-star on some sites coming out of high school, went to Ohio State initially before transferring, was a consistent 400 yards a year type of guy. So kind of fit the mold, but I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting a whole bunch. I was saying, hey, if this guy can come in and be that wide receiver three option and, you know, kind of just add a little presence to that room, I think that'd be solid. But with what he's done over the course of the spring, at least he's kind of so far surpass some of my initial expectations. Now, again, this is still the spring. This is still early. This is not to say he's going to go on and be a 1,000-yard type wide receiver. I'm just saying, you know, he had, you know, some really nice catches in the scrimmage. You know, he continues to just show up, like Coach DeBoer mentioned, as being that guy that, whether it's moving the chains, the play needs to be made. I mean, he's just reliable. Kind of how we talked about with Jeremy Bernard, not necessarily comparing the two, but I'm just saying Bernard was that guy. You know, you need to make something happen. You can trust somebody to, you know, make a nice catch, make a play. He's kind of been providing a little bit of that, which has been really solid and really important for that wide receiver room. We hit on Ryan Williams, a little bit more of a quiet scrimmage this time around versus the first one where all the clips came out with the whole, you know, three touchdowns. But still, you know, building off some stuff, and I think he's still on pace to hopefully have a really strong third year as he approaches that junior campaign. And then Lotsier Brooks continues to impress. We all know what he can do. And, you know, he made some nice plays in the scrimmage as well. I know Derek Meadows has, you know, quietly had a pretty solid spring as well. And I know those guys are kind of competing who's going to get those reps. Rico Scott, I'm sure you guys have seen the intel. You know, it didn't have his best day Friday. But again, you can't rule somebody out just over one practice. But definitely think the consistency with him will help him out in terms of getting some more opportunities. Taking a look at the tight ends in that group, Josh Ford, he's a big dude, man. I stood next to him on the sideline after the scrimmage, and he's every bit of what, 6'6", 267, and he holds that weight very well. It's not like a, you know, a big heavy 267. I mean, he's very tall, and he holds it on his frame extremely well. Physical player, I think he's going to be phenomenal in helping out in that run block, and we've been hearing a lot from Kalen DeBoer and others. Even, you know, Caleb Edwards speaking on the presence that he provides in the run game just with his run blocking alone. I mean, I think he's a good enough athlete to provide some in the passing game. But I think that department is probably going to be, you know, Caleb Edwards, Marshall Pritchard had a strong day as well in the scrimmage on Friday. So I think that group's coming along nicely, man. And I think the three of those guys, to me, kind of just feel kind of like your top three guys right now. I mean, I could be missing somebody. I mean, it could be somebody else that definitely emerges. But the way it kind of looks right now, you know, Danny Lewis, I think he's still sidelined right now during the spring. So maybe he comes back in. And I've always thought he's had a lot of potential. He's just, you know, not been able to be healthy. So maybe when he gets healthy, he also comes back into the equation. But I like the addition of Josh Ford at tight end, especially in the running game. And then I think Caleb Edwards is progressing very nicely. And I think he's going to build off a lot of the good that he did last year as a freshman. And I think Marshall Pritchard's kind of growing up a little bit. I know he got some opportunities late due to injuries last season. Did a couple good things, but it was clear. He still was probably not quite there just yet. And I think this offseason has been really nice for him to continue to develop. So definitely thought that group was solid. Now, last but not least, offensive line, because I know everybody's, you know, focused on that group. They are, in my opinion, in agreement with Coach DeBoer, probably going to be the key to this offense and really how far they can go. Still a little inconsistent with the group. I know Coach DeBoer kind of touched on it in his press conference. He basically mentioned that, you know, the running game just quite, you know, is still taking some time to kind of get going. You know, there's some moments here and there, but just kind of like I was saying last week, I think the consistency, that's the biggest thing. They have to find a way to be consistent, not be so spotty, but again, still very early, a lot of new faces. I know Intel has already been coming out talking about some of the changes that were made, so we can speak on that. Everything I think had been the same other than left guard. Ethan Fields got a lot of reps with the ones in the scrimmage, and I thought he was pretty solid at that spot. I think it was the last week, it was Brooks who had been getting a lot of work there. You got Will Sanders, who I think is definitely a strong candidate of earning that spot when he comes back, but he's out with injury right now. But Ethan Fields was a guy that was pretty interesting. I didn't know too much, you know, to expect out of him or what to expect out of him, knowing that he didn't have a whole bunch of snaps under his belt before transfer from Ole Miss. Now, I know watching him with Landon, you know, that he had a lot of, you know, solid, you know, I guess stuff he put on tape, right? And there, it was very limited, but some of the things that he did show on tape, It was impressive. But when you have a guy that just hadn't earned a lot of opportunities in terms of playing time through 3 years, you're always going to be kind of wondering, well, why hasn't he quite, you know, put it all together just yet? But he filled in there. Jackson Lloyd, I thought, you know, was, you know, pretty impressive, man. I thought he did a pretty solid job in pass pro. Still could probably get a little bit stronger. And I think that's something that he can keep working on over the course of the next few months during the summer program. But I could understand why they feel like he's probably their guy at left tackle. I mean, I think he looked pretty consistent. And, I mean, he's a big guy as well. He's a good athlete. So, you know, I think as he continues to grow, get stronger, develop, get more reps, I think he's going to be a really good player. So there's a lot of positives coming out of that side. Now, I will say Rayson Delgado at center, definitely very scrappy. You know, some of the things we saw on tape in terms of him finishing after the whistle, you know, really trying to, you know, press people's buttons a little bit. I mean, he's that type of player. So he's going to kind of bring that to that unit. I thought he looked pretty solid out there. Michael Carroll at right guard did some good stuff, as you would expect. But I will say, I think the right side was the more inconsistent of the group. But I want to, you know, note this, because, again, you know, sometimes when people are saying these things, you don't have the whole picture. Now, I thought they held up decently when they weren't facing like true pressure. When they were just facing a four-man rush, I thought they did a pretty decent job. The issue came up when, you know, they were getting a lot of pressure and blitzes thrown at them. So that's definitely going to have to be improved upon, which, I mean, I think Coach DeBoer kind of spoke a little bit about that as well. Then, like I mentioned, the run game, just got to find a way to get more consistent push. Got to just put it all together and be really the main word is consistent. But I can definitely see some of the potential from the group, not where they need to be. I think there's still a ways to go. If I'm just being completely honest with you, they probably are a little ways to go. But hopefully over the course of the next few months, they can kind of start putting some stuff together. A couple other guys getting a little bit more healthy, seeing what they can do and seeing how they can progress. So that is the offensive side of things. We're due for another timeout. When we come back, we'll flip over to the defensive side of things. We'll break that down, recap that. I know this is a little extensive. I know it's long, but, hey, we got a two-hour slot for our radio show, so I'm just taking my time a little bit. If you want the short version, again, we got a 15-minute version on our YouTube channel. You can go watch that. But we're going to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll hit the defense. We'll get to some of y'all's questions. 205-342-9904 is the number. We'll probably hit the phone lines at the top of the hour once we wrap this whole thing up, and then we'll go from there. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high today, 69. Clear and cool tonight, below 45. Weather looks good tomorrow and Wednesday. Lots of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 61 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're continuing with this scrimmage number two recap. It's very slow, dragged out scrimmage recap. I promise it's not meant to be, but I know you guys, you know, like details and all that stuff, and I'm trying to go off of what I can talk about that's already been, you know, put out there, public knowledge, and we got plenty of time to do it, so hopefully you guys, you don't mind. All right, let's continue with this whole breakdown. We hit on the offense, now we're moving on over to the defense. Let's start with up front, right? We all know we love the defensive line play, the trenches, especially here on this show. I'll say this, I do believe that there's a lot of depth that's, you know, being accumulated on that defensive line unit. You had some injuries, or you have some injuries, so a number of guys that are either limited or are not playing right now. So it's providing more opportunities for a lot of young guys. I know last week there was a lot of talk about Steve Boomwe, who's been doing some really good stuff. We all know the mountain of a man that he is, just needed to kind of put some things together. Very raw football player, but has had himself a pretty solid spring. But I know Bingley Jones, a transfer from Mississippi State, been getting a lot of reps at the nose spot and been doing some good stuff. He had a solid scrimmage number one, and I think those guys continue to progress. So across the defensive line group, I would say, I mean, they've done some good stuff. They've shown that they've got a number of depth that they can roll with. I mean, whether it's Fogga rolling in there. I mean, there's a number of guys that are getting you know, consistent reps. And I thought they did some good stuff in terms of stopping the run, especially early on, man. I thought they held up very, very nicely at the line of scrimmage. They looked pretty physical from what I saw. Again, I'm not saying that trust me, there's still plenty to work on, plenty that they need to improve on. But I'm just saying for the number of younger guys, remember, you got London Simmons, who's not in there, didn't really see a whole bunch of Terrence Green. I mean, there's a number of guys that weren't necessarily in there that I fully expect to be. And even so, there's a lot of good things that I saw out of those guys stepping up. So that was definitely positive to see. I will say, I know you guys are always asking about Devin Tompkins, who's somebody that is very intriguing. You're talking about the transfer from Southern Cal. Very big guy. I mean, he's all of that 6'5", pushing, you know, 300 pounds, but his frame holds it well. And, you know, he did some good things in the scrimmage. I mean, you definitely see why he's, you know, lining up at a number of positions across the defensive line. I mean, he's able to do it. Now, that said, I will say this, you know, kind of like I've been explaining. I mean, when you got a 300-pound guy rushing off the edge, you're not expecting to see that quick twitch guy or that guy who's really, you know, coming off like Reuben Bain. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to have that type of bend and things like that. So I see why they play him, you know, on the edge. They play him at the three because he can do it. But I definitely think it's really going to depend on kind of situationally what you're looking at, personnel, what you're facing. You know, he reminds me, like, imagine how LT Overton plays, right, where you can see him playing on the edge. Now, LT Overton actually did have some juice coming off the edge, but could also rush from inside. I mean, kind of just imagine kind of how LT Overton produced in his role. I think that's similar to what you expect out of, you know, Tompkins. He's just a little bit bigger and probably provides a little bit more presence on the inside, even though LT was one of the better run defenders that we had last year. But I would kind of, and I mentioned on that video, when I said, like, you know, smashing, you know, James Smith and LT together, I'm saying more so the fact that LT kind of played on the edge a little bit more than you got James Smith, who kind of worked the interior. You know, he's kind of like in between at 300 pounds, but he's taller than both those guys. So probably not the best way to describe it when I say smash them together, because he's definitely taller and bigger than a guy like LT, but more athletic than a guy like James. It's just kind of, imagine that kind of role, kind of that LT kind of role. That's kind of the vibe that I got. I know a lot of people were asking about Zulu. There's been a lot of reports coming out about Zulu, the transfer from South Carolina. And I was kind of talking about it during the break. I mean, I don't want to dive into too much, but I'll just say this. I know a lot of reports were kind of painting a picture, like, you guys might think, I mean, this guy's like Clowney coming off the edge. Again, I didn't see that. I think I saw a guy that still needs to kind of put some things together. I think he's still developing. Now, I think he probably, you know, did some things, some good things here and there, but I walked away kind of thinking it was more of what I saw on tape when I broke his tape down as he transferred from South Carolina. A guy that, you know, he doesn't have the most bend, he doesn't have the most, you know, burst off the edge, that first step quickness. I mean, those things aren't really like flashing, but he's a big guy. He can move, he can be serviceable. That's kind of what I walked away with. I don't see him coming, you know, close to probably matching production of a guy like Yonze Pierre or anything. Like, I think he could help. If anything, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I thought Justin Hill looked good. And I personally, if it was me, I would try to keep working him in there and trying to see if you can develop him as a pass rusher. I like Justin Hill. I personally do. Now, I might be biased because that's my guy. I got to chop it up with him afterwards. Him and his folks, man, such a great, great young man. And we even talked about maybe getting some good work in this summer, working some pass rush stuff. But I will add on to this real quick because I know we got to hit this top of the hour break. There's going to be plenty of opportunities. So as I say that, I mean, all these guys are going to see a lot of reps. I know some people were commenting and asking about Justin Hill. Like, you didn't really mention him. Well, it's because I kind of know what to expect out of him. And he's kind of been doing exactly what I expect. He's physical. I mean, he's disruptive. He's going to be a presence, and he's going to be on the field. He's going to play a lot. That's why I said that prediction thing that we put out there was just more like, hey, if they're in big nickel, that's what I expect. But best believe, and I'm not going to speak too much on some of the things that they're doing, but those guys will all get plenty of opportunities, whether it's, you know, Yonze, Justin Hill, Zulu. I mean, even Tompkins at Bandit. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different things that these guys do to get those, get all of them involved. And I think they're going to be a good group. But I would say for the edge position, as we cap this part off, where we hit this top of the hour break, definitely some solid things, but I definitely think there's there's more to get out of those guys. And I definitely want to see the pass rush pick up even more. Because I know Coach DeBoer talked about it was better. Personally, this is just my take. I thought the pass rush was just really the pressure that was generated was coming from pressures and blitzes. When we were rushing four, there needs to be more pressure. I get it. Maybe I'm a harsh critic. Maybe his standard is a little bit different. But I just think the defensive line needs to generate even more pressure rushing on four. Because that's been the theme that they've even talked about. And I think they would agree with me that when they go back and watch the tape, because I was watching that very closely, I didn't see a whole bunch of pressure generated just with four. And that's outside in, inside out. So hopefully they can keep working on that, because I think that will be important. But now when they dialed up pressure and blitzes, though, they were very effective and they definitely harassed that offense. All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll kind of conclude the defensive part of things, and then we'll kind of go to you guys, answer questions, all that stuff. Open up the phone lines, 205-342-9904. And when we come back, we'll do just that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In Sunday night's late NBA game at Golden State, Houston won its sixth in a row, 117-116, as Steph Curry missed the final shot. He did return to play, had 29 points off the bench. Curry had missed the previous 27 games with his knee injury. Dallas beat the Lakers 134-128, 45 points for Cooper Flagg. Orlando trailed at New Orleans by 10 with 10 minutes to go, but still beat the Pelicans 112-108. New Orleans has lost eight straight. Oklahoma City handed Utah a ninth straight loss, 146-111. And at Cleveland, 38 points for Donovan Mitchell in a win over Indiana, 117-108. UCLA dominated the women's basketball championship game, whipping South Carolina 79-51. The men's final is Monday night. The NHL's late game went to St. Louis, 3-2 at Colorado. J.J. Spawn won the Texas Open by one stroke. Cardinals won at Detroit, 5-3.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends. We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience confidence that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC. All right, let's wrap this up because this has been going on for about a year, it feels like. And this is why I'm glad we didn't even play the Coach DeBoer audio because we really probably would have run out of time. All right, let's fast forward. Finishing up on defense, moving back to linebacker position, Caleb Woodson, definitely a solid player. And I think he's definitely going to do some good stuff this upcoming season. A really good athlete. You can tell, you know, the mass that he's put on. I mean, he's definitely pushing 240. He's a big guy, linebacker, 6'3"-ish. So, definitely some really nice size there at that position. But next to him, and this is now public knowledge, I've been seeing it being talked about, but a little interesting to see kind of how they were doing the rotation there. Was fully expecting more so of a QB Reese or Luke Metz type of deal there, but it actually was, you know, Abdul Sanders getting majority of the reps with the ones. And I thought he looked, you know, every bit comfortable out there, and he did some good stuff there. And honestly, it kind of makes it interesting now because you also saw, you know, QB Reese make some plays. I thought he stood out. And then Luke Metz even had a couple moments there as well. So I think that's still very much open. But it is interesting to see some of these, you know, these other guys earning themselves some opportunities and seeing what they do with it. And that's why I kind of even talked about last week. I just fully expect that linebacker group to probably, when I say by committee approach, I'm sure they'll end up narrowing it down. So you got, you know, two main backers, then maybe a third guy that whether it's, you know, in sub, one guy comes in when you're more of a true base package, you got a different group, you know what I mean, or another guy. I fully expect like Caleb Woodson to be like the you know, four down guy pretty much like always in there, but then maybe on sub or base packages, maybe they're rotating the other spots. Because I feel like they like several of these backers that are competing for that spot right now. And it might be hard to keep, you know, everybody off the field. I think you end up carving out various roles for a number of these players. But overall, I thought they did some good stuff in this scrimmage. Definitely was curious about the linebacker unit. And I think they're off to a nice pace because we know how important that group is going to be. And last but not least, the secondary, who I feel like is probably the strongest unit on this football team. We all know about the production that they are returning. A number of that production, you know, has been limited or has been out. You know, Ray Hubbard limited this spring. I don't think Xavien Brown practiced much at all. I don't think he even was, you know, in the scrimmage. But with that being said, you have a number of young players getting opportunities. We talked about Jordan Edmonds. You saw him on the highlights that Alabama had posted, which I'll throw up here on the screen. Yeah, he made the most of his opportunities, right? I thought that he looked solid out there running with the ones. DJ Lee, we all know about him. He definitely had some nice moments in the scrimmage. And then the safety room, man, there's a lot of young players that I feel like are going to be pushing to earn themselves some opportunities. I know we talked about Ivan Taylor a good bit over the last couple of weeks. He continues to impress, continues to be a playmaker, doing some really good stuff. Even got to see the young guy, Jaire Edwards, earn some opportunities a little bit later. And I just think a lot of people, man, are really pushing to earn some roles. And that's why I feel like this secondary is arguably one of the best units in the country, not just from the returning production, but also due to the youth that has been stepping up and showing that they also are starting caliber players. And when you have really good starters and really good depth, I mean, now you're talking about, you know, some of the units like that I played with where it was just like reloading. That's kind of what the secondary has started to feel like. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect, but they definitely have a lot of talent, a lot of production, and a lot of depth. And I think they're going to help out that defense tremendously. But you just got to make sure that the front seven all comes together. And talked about that pass rush. That pass rush needs to continue to develop. But that secondary unit, I'm really excited about seeing. And then special teams, we can't forget that. They had a few nice kicks in this scrimmage. Definitely a good battle going on at the kicking spot. And then also, I think Coach DeBoer gave a shout-out to the punter, right, for some of the things that they did. So that's that, Chase, that we finally concluded after about an hour of recap, which is kind of crazy. I did not expect to spend that much time on it. But, hey, man, I guess there's a lot of stuff to cover. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that whole deal. I do know this, Chase. A-Day is this Saturday. So the good news is with A-Day, it's public. So we don't have to feel like we're kind of like, all right, well, we saw this and this. When it comes next Monday, right, because A-Day is on Saturday, we'll do a whole extensive breakdown, and I'm not going to feel like I have, like, you know, handcuffs on, which is totally fine. I'm used to this, right? I mean, I never want to be, you know, spilling all the tea, right? You know, when you have privileges and stuff, you don't want to mess that up. But A-Day is public, so we'll really do a deep dive that Monday, and we can really talk about every single little detail because there's still some other things that I could probably throw in here, but I'm just leaving them out because some of it I didn't really see pop up all over the internet. But yeah, definitely looking forward to doing that. Chase, any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts real quick before we hit this quick timeout, then open up the floor to any callers or folks in the chat, man, anything that you think that I missed or you had a question about, Chase, I'll give you the honors of kicking it off where we hit this break.
Yeah, Christian, just with your thoughts just on the offense a little bit. I know a lot of people like to put emphasis on just trying to get things back to what it used to be, just like with the running game a little bit. Is the development still possible within the running backs of being under a grub system, or it's just what we saw last year, it might get towards that? You know, can you is there like some faith that like the running game will be back in order, or is it just too early to tell, if that makes sense?
No, that's a good question. No, I'll say this. I mean, I think they're definitely trying to just, you know, improve it, number one. Trying to get a number of guys opportunities and also trying to get things squared away up front. But that's the biggest thing about the running game is it's not just, you know, one group or one guy. I mean, it's a whole bunch of different factors. And I think they're actively trying to work with that. They're trying to get different guys in there. Hence, you know, you saw some changes made at the guard position, maybe seeing if one guy could, you know, get a little bit more push, maybe one guy could, you know, just provide something that maybe some other guys haven't. And then in terms of the running back room, I'll say this. I personally think the number of guys that you're seeing get opportunities, like with the ones, you know, when we talk about scrimmages, a lot of times you got a couple guys with the ones, a couple guys with the twos, but I feel like at running back, I mean, you saw a number of players earn some opportunities. And I think what's happening is the competition is just elevating everybody. Right. Because to me, I mean, like I see A.K. Deer doing some really good things this spring. You know, Daniel Hill shed a little bit of weight. You know, he's been running behind his pads a little bit more. I know they're excited about him. He talked about him finally feeling, you know, healthier than he's felt in a long time. Kevin Riley, who just popped up on this highlight reel. I mean, he's back healthy. I feel like he's doing some really good stuff. So I think personally, the running back room is in a much better place now than how it looked and how it was last season. Now, granted, they dealt with a number of injuries, so I want to at least throw that out there. But right now, I feel like there's a number of guys. I mean, even if you look at a guy like Trayshawn Brown, again, not going as far as saying, like, you know, it's like he's just dominating everybody. I'm definitely not saying that. But you just see the potential, and you're like, okay, man, that's exciting. I mean, because they probably were expecting more so, oh, okay, E.J. Crowell. I don't know how many – I don't even think Trayshawn Brown was a huge recruit coming out of high school. I think he was a pretty lower-rated guy. No disrespect. I'm just saying I think that's where he fell. But to be fair, he's done a lot of good stuff. So to answer your question, no, I think it's slowly coming along. Like Coach DeBoer said, it's progressing. They clearly would want to see even more. It's not nearly where it needs to be. Might even not really be – where they would hope it would be at this point in time. But at the same time, you got a new offensive line coach. You got a whole new group of guys. And this is why I've said this whole time, like, when people just saw us sign guys from the portal, then everybody just, like, started, like, haranguing and saying basically like, the running game is officially fixed. Like, I was saying, like, no, no, no. Like, I mean, a lot of these guys are still trying to figure it out themselves, right? Like, I mean, you had maybe Rayson Delgado, who had starting experience at a very small school. Then Javen James, he started at Mississippi State and I guess at Akron before he got to Mississippi State. Other than that, I mean, those dudes hadn't really played much college football. So, I mean, it still remains true. Everything we said still remains true. And this is why we really harped on it. Like, development is going to be the key. And that's exactly what's taking place right now. So when you hear Coach DeBoer mention that, or you hear, you know, intel or nuggets coming out basically saying the running game ain't really quite there, start slow, you know, I mean, listen, that's kind of part of it. That's not a tell-all. That doesn't mean it's not going to get better. Now, I still stand firm with how I truly feel that I don't know if it's going to be this huge upgrade. I just don't think we really, you might have potential there, but I don't think you have, like, you know, sure pieces where you can just feel like it's going to be that much better. I personally don't really see that. I think the offensive line can be a little bit better in certain, you know, areas, or maybe certain things could be a little bit better. But I also think they're still going to struggle in a number of things. That's just me being completely honest. It's just they're young and played a bunch of football. So I think as long as you kind of have that expectation and you just keep the goal clear, and that's, we need a serviceable running game. We need a running game that offers us balance. We need a running game that can be depended on when we're in that 4-minute offense. We need a running game to set the tone. You know, even if it's not perfect, but if you can at least be physical and kind of set the tone and really wear on the defense, like, you don't have to always run for 200 yards a game. I think that's a common misconception that a lot of people have. But I think it's making some progress, Chase, and I think it can definitely get better. I don't know what the ceiling would be for it, but I guess time will tell. But we are winding down, not only to hit this timeout, but also with spring ball, A-Day coming up this Saturday. Definitely looking forward to that. Hopefully you guys get to attend and get to check it out. And maybe we'll get to see some of you guys there. But let's go ahead and hit this timeout. We come back, we keep talking. Spring scrimmage too. We're opening up the phone lines now so you guys can talk. Lord have mercy, man. My allergies are killing me. I can't speak, I promise. It's not that I'm not trying to do the show right now. I'm a little tired, so bear with me. But that's what you guys are for. 205-342-9904. When we come back, hopefully we can hear from you guys right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Including discounts, credits, and optional charges. See harrisx.com/T-Mobile. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high today, 69. Clear and cool tonight, the low 45. The weather looks good tomorrow and Wednesday. Lots of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
back into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC recap of scrimmage number two. Took about an hour, but hey, we made it. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up first. Ellis, welcome in.
What's going on, Christian?
What's up, Ellis? Did you made it to the scrimmage, right? You said you were there, I think, on Friday.
Did you get to go
and everything?
Oh, yeah. It's an experience that I won't ever forget. You know, it's something that I've always wanted to do, be able to do it, and I was able to do it. So I drove 4 hours down there and waited around and went in and enjoyed it.
Well, tell me this, Ellis, because I just want to confirm this, because you had a lot of people jealous on Friday when we spoke to you. Because they didn't realize that if they were, I guess, the 25 a month type membership with the Alabama, they would be able to go. So it was that for anybody that was that level of Yay Alabama, the $25 a month? Like, if you were
that's what they call the veteran member.
So all veteran members had the ability to attend it?
Yes. And they've always got something going on, Chris. You know,
okay, so,
I'm always getting that email.
But that was the first time they offered you guys a chance to attend a scrimmage, though, correct?
Yes. You remember last year, I got to go and meet the team. You remember?
Oh, yep. You're right. I do remember that. They held like cornhole and stuff. The players were in there, their jerseys.
Yes. They were all there, and they're walking around. They had where you could play video games with them, you know, and you just walk up and talk to them, you know. But being able to go to a scrimmage, though, that's pretty awesome, you know. Well, and I know A-Day, but this is something that nobody else got to go to except for certain members of certain groups.
Well, I think people are going to be mad now, Ellis, because not at you, but because I don't think they realized that was the thing, because a lot of people, when you had mentioned that on the show, like in the chat, were confused. Like, they're like, man, if I knew I could do that, I would have been signed up. So maybe if Yay Alabama's listening, which again, they need to get with me on partnering on the show here. I'm going to keep giving them a few more chances. They need to broadcast that a little bit more, because it sounds like nobody on our show even really knew that was a thing. And I would imagine if they would have just at least announced that, like, hey, if you're a veteran level member, you can attend the scrimmages. I guarantee you people would have signed up.
Oh, yes. You know, and you know, like I said, they're trying to get to 50,000. They ain't got there yet.
Well, you got to promote. You got to promote. That's why they need to partner with us. You got to promote it, man. You can't.
Right.
You got to promote it.
Talk about it. Because like I said there, I've always got an email with something going on. I could have went to some baseball games. If I lived down there, I would have went to some baseball games and hung out. They got something going on before the concert coming up with Morgan Wallen, you know.
Oh, nice.
But going back to the football, there, you know, see, there'll be probably something coming up again with the football team. Like probably this weekend at A-Day. I don't know. It was last year. The Yay Alabama members was able to go down on the field and get autograph from the players after the A-Day. I don't know if they'll do it this year or not, but they did last year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably would be a good opportunity. Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to get to 50,000, I mean, you got to be able to definitely push it more, promote it more, and then definitely keep providing opportunities like that to encourage folks. Talk to me, Ellis. You were at the scrimmage as well, man. I didn't get to see you. I wish I would have tried to find you. But tell me what
you
thought about it.
I looked for you.
Oh, did you? I was down on the, I don't know what, east, west side of the stadium, but I was on the offensive side of the like stands, a little bit kind of like the mid area. I was kind of in like that mid level area because I felt like you could see best. And then I went down on the field towards the end for a little bit. But But tell me what you thought, man. Anything stood out to you that way? I'll let you do the talking because I've been talking way too long, man. My dad's not on here. But tell me what you thought. Anything stick out to you?
The defense.
Mm-hmm. Anything about it, though? I mean, you just thought the defense, anybody specific or anything? Like the guys up front?
The defense of whole, how they were pressuring, you know.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, they definitely did some good stuff for sure. And they definitely started off really strong, man. First couple drives, I definitely agree with you. And they brought some heat. And they got some good pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. What about the offense? Did you see anything out of those guys that you like?
The young man that come from Texas, the offensive line.
It's my Nick Brooks.
I think he's number 71. He looked good. The transfer from a small college running back, I think he wore number 20.
Maybe Khalifa. I was going to say, if you're talking about, is it Khalifa Keith? I think his name is. He transferred from, is it like... I don't know if he was at Tennessee, then he was at maybe App State, but he actually had some good plays in this scrimmage as well. I forgot to mention him, but Khalifa King did do a couple of good things as well. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. Good deal.
And then after the scrimmage, Coach DeBoer come up and talked to us, and then it was you could ask him a question. They'd give you a microphone, and you could ask him a question, and he'd answer it.
Any good questions that they asked him?
They asked about the wide receivers. Some asked about the special team and things like that. What they was concerned about. Offensive line. It was pretty awesome. I seen your name at the Walk of Champions.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. I appreciate you checking that out.
Yeah, I checked that out and sat out there in some wooden chairs out there in the on the quad. I got them sitting at different places, and I just sat out there and walked around. Had love a good it, time.
Love it. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad it went well.
I will call you tomorrow and tell you what happened to me when we got more time, because I know I hear the music going on.
Oh, yeah, you'll have to tell me, man. Now you got me curious. But that's a good little setup for our listeners, too, man, because that's a good little cliffhanger that we'll leave it on. But I appreciate you checking in with us, Ellis, and giving us all your thoughts from Friday, and definitely look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, man.
Yes, sir, and I'll be coming down for A-Day.
Sounds good, man. Maybe we'll get to see you then. Ellis, we appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Absolutely. Roll Tide. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling. We come back. Plus, forgot to mention this, man. There might be some order coming to college football. Sounds like the executive action is on the way. We'll discuss a little bit about that and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
And performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless
Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Register now at TuscaloosaGauntlet.com and race for a cause. All proceeds benefit the Alabama Marines Foundation. The Tuscaloosa Gauntlet. Are you up for the challenge?
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
New location, corner of Skyland East Boulevard and Palisades Drive. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
TuscaloosaMazda.com.
For details, visit TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We've been recapping scrimmage number two. We did that for about an hour. So if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, or you want to jump in on the phone lines, 205-342-9904, you're more than welcome to. But it pretty much hit on like every single thing possible. So if you guys are just tuning in, just rewind the stream a little bit. You can do that on, then you can do it on X, YouTube, or even Facebook. So just rewind the stream back to probably like the 15-minute mark, and then we go on a whole hour recap of scrimmage number two. But I am still hanging around answering any questions that you guys might have. Just wanted to kind of inform people that might just be tuning in to the show just now. A couple of notes that we didn't hit on, just that I wanted to touch on in the basketball space. For Taylor Bowen plans to enter the transfer portal. He averaged 6.3 points a game this past season on top of 4.2 rebounds. So I think he's the first guy to hit the portal. And this comes on the heels of Nate Oates allegedly signed, not allegedly, well, I guess it's not finalized, but Nate Oates actually signed an extension, man. So we kind of got the little, you know, preview on it, I guess a couple weeks ago or maybe a week ago, Greg Byrne posting that, hey, he's not going anywhere. Then they followed that up with a post saying that Nate Oates has signed a new contract. Well, I guess, so he signed it, but I think it needs to be formally approved. That's what it is. It says, Nate Oates has signed a new contract that will make him one of the top five compensated men's basketball coaches in the country. Appropriate members of the Board of Trustees have been notified of the proposed terms of the new agreement, and it will soon be formally approved through the board process. So big shout out to Coach Oates, man. Definitely some really exciting stuff there. I'm a big fan of Coach Oates. I like the way he operates. I like the way, you know, he coaches clearly. I think he recruits extremely well. He's brought basketball back to being in a relevant space here in Tuscaloosa. And we're very appreciative of that. And I'm glad that he's being compensated accordingly and knowing that he will be here even further, which that's what I talked about when there was news that, you know, the UNC job opened up. Could he be a target? Well, yeah, he could be a target. But I just feel like, and again, I know Coach Oates, so I'm not going to say I'm best friends with him, but I know him, you know, pretty solidly. And he loves being here, man. He loves university. He loves Tuscaloosa, the city, and everything that comes with it. But, good to have him back for even more time. The other thing we were going to talk about real quick was the whole executive order deal that I don't know if you guys saw this yet, but I want to say it was Friday around the time that I was up at the scrimmage. I think I was just on X and I realized that they went ahead and are going through with this executive order. Now, it doesn't officially, I guess, change or fix. It doesn't fix everything, right? It is an executive order. And it is expected that there's going to be some pushback. We already know there's going to be opposition. But just to kind of touch on some of the main things that it does hit on, it's not even so much of necessarily the compensation for players, at least like I was maybe expecting. I know some of the other folks probably thought that too. But it actually ended up being really focused on the transfer portal, right? And really trying to limit the number of times that players can transfer. So I guess for everybody that was complaining about athletes being compensated, I guess they can kind of pump the brakes just a little bit. But I will say, though, in terms of the transfer portal part of it, I love it. And not because I'm trying to, you know, limit, you know, athletes from being able to, you know, find a better opportunity, anything like that. No, I just think that it helps create a little bit more order because, to be fair, the transfer portal is one of the driving forces to some of the chaos that we're seeing in college football. And there's a video right here from Fox News kind of breaking down exactly what this executive order does entail. So I'll go ahead and let you guys give it a listen and kind of explain exactly what it is and we'll respond to it.
President Trump just signing an executive order to regulate college sports. So you may be wondering what's in it and how, if at all, can it be enforced? Joined once again by Griff. And I just want to share something that I think is really important. First of all, and this is a big key, I think, it restricts the amount of money that student athletes can be paid. Some of them are making millions and millions of dollars now thanks to NIL, name, likeness, name, image, and likeness.
To like the pro sports level.
Yeah, which is incredible. It also, Griff, sets a 5-year eligibility window for NCAA athletes, no more than 6th and 7th year trying to come back, even 8 years I've heard. And this is key too. It restricts athletes to just one transfer per 5-year period, but there's some controversy behind that.
Well, there's not controversy, and that's a good thing in theory. However, in situations like you saw my alma mater at Ole Miss, when Lane Kiffin had built the program, athletes had transferred to be a part of that team, leaves the eve of competing in the national championship. Yeah. Should those athletes, if your coach leaves in the portal, you're talking about reforming the portal, should they get one more transfer? I would argue the answer is yes. It also, by the way, pushes schools to prioritize women's in Olympic sports regardless of revenue.
That's huge.
That's a huge deal. Yeah. Didn't get enough attention. It calls on Congress to pass legislation like the SCORE Act. Remember, ultimately, an executive order at the executive level can only go so far. Congress has yet to vote on this, but there's bipartisan support in both the House and Senate. And then finally, the president is threatening withholding federal funding for schools that don't comply with this. We'll see where it goes. But, Kevin, it's a really important issue for college sports, and it's long overdue to be reformed.
I have college athletes in my family. I was an RA on a football floor. We've had some spirited conversation with former athletes here. I think this is the right step.
Well, I'll say this. He said he was an RA on the athlete's floor. There's no telling what that guy experienced being in that role in college. I'm just going to tell you guys, RA, I'm sure you guys know what it is, but it's like the patrol, right? The supervisor of the dorms. And yeah, man, as you can imagine, there's all types of stuff that you might see in a student athlete dorm. All right. So now that we're talking a little bit about the legal side of things here, it's a great time to remind you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, who works with high school, college, and graduate students on academic and career success, whether that's mentoring, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, application strategy, personal statements, resumes, and long-term academic and professional planning. But not only that, he's also willing and able to help you guys with academic misconduct matters, First Amendment cases, NIL, situations, or of course, all criminal defense matters, which we've been talking a lot about that over the past few weeks. But all that is super important. But I think what's even better and cooler is that he does it all for an affordable rate, because things are a little bit tough nowadays, but he makes it affordable for all you guys, beating out all the competitors when it comes to representation or all the other great services that they offer. Doing it always in the first class manner, they're going to have your back and they're going to actually provide that relentless advocacy, right? Trust me, I've dealt with some people that are kind of like, all right, they call you, right? That you'll not hear from them for months. I get it. People are busy. Adam's going to be with you every step of the way, and he's going to take care of you. 201-317-5115 is his number. You can always email him at adam@lamparello-law.com or visit the website lamparello-law.com. Again, that is Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. So I guess maybe the initial report that I read wasn't, I guess, complete, because I didn't initially see everything and talked about in terms of limiting athlete compensation. I know that was discussed with the whole roundtable meeting, but initially there was, at least the reports that I had read on Friday, they really talked mostly about the whole transfer portal deal. As you guys just heard, restricting athletes to only one transfer per five-year period, keeping athletes window only to 5 years, right? That you're not, that way you're not seeing 6, 7, 8 year type players. I understand that, you know, there's injuries or things that happen. I know there's one guy that was like going on year 8 of college football because he literally tore his knee like multiple times or had various surgeries, but there's got to be a crackdown on that. So that's kind of what we're looking at. And speaking of Adam, we got Adam here in the chat, and I'm actually super happy that he can expand a little bit more on this because personally, I've read some of it, but I don't know exactly every logistic. But this is what Adam has to say, along with, of course, a very generous donation here on the stream, which we are always extremely grateful for because, again, you guys see the updated setup, the updated equipment, camera, all that stuff. You can thank Mr. Lamparello because he is definitely one of our biggest supporters here on this show, making all these things possible. Adam says, Christian, executive orders carry the force of law within the executive branch and are binding on federal agencies. Because Trump has directed agencies to restrict federal funding to schools that violate the order, schools will adopt policies to ensure compliance. So according to Adam, our official legal representation of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, Adam states that even though it is an executive order and it isn't, you know, full law, at least yet, schools are going to abide by it in fear of facing the penalties, which he just talked about is basically the whole deal about them, I guess, having their federal funding withdrawn, which I could imagine would be a very big deal. We'll have to see if there's any, I guess, I don't know, outliers. I'm sure there's going to be a couple people that maybe try to push things. I don't know, just knowing how things work, but we'll have to stay up to date with this. But this is big news, guys, because we've been talking about trying to get and reestablish more order in college football. It sounds like it's officially on the way now in terms of like a time frame when this really goes into effect and everything and all that stuff. We'll have to keep following it. But I don't know. I want you guys to tell me what you guys think. Are you excited about this? Are you in favor of this? Do you feel like they're crossing the line? They're doing too much? I don't know. I want to get y'all's thoughts. But first, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We
buy Tidwell Chiropractic, the only third generation chiropractor with over 28 years experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Any problems you got with a damp crawl space or a crack in your foundation, they even do pest control and lawn care. Full service Alabama Professional Services at alabamaprofessional.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
better. Get tickets now at ProRiverResort.com. Great White, Slaughter, together, live.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high today, 69. Clear and cool tonight, the low 45. Weather looks good tomorrow and Wednesday. Lots of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
WTBC. We're discussing the latest executive order that President Trump had signed, I believe it was Friday, regarding college athletics. We just heard the clip from Fox Sports that was discussing some of the, I guess, the key components of this executive order, restricting the amount of money student athletes could be paid, which I don't know the specifics on that. Initially, when I first read this, I didn't see too many details on that, so I don't know. I mean, that could be them just saying, hey, if they apply that revenue sharing, which I think the cap's probably 23, 24, it should be soon. I mean, how much are we really restricting them? Like, yeah, technically that's considered restricting, but that's a whole hell of a lot of money those guys can make. I think the biggest things were really regarding the transfer portal, right? Only one transfer within 5 years in that period, which I think that's fair, right? You get one pass to transfer outside of that. I mean, unless there's maybe an exception, I'm sure. The 5 year eligibility window to stop, you know, these 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 year athletes in college sports, that's definitely something that's being addressed. I think it's important. Prioritizing women's and Olympic sports regardless of revenue. So if anybody was, you know, worried about them being pushed out the door due to all the focus being on the revenue generating sports, which again, you got to understand to an extent, like this, there should be fairness. But when football and basketball are the only ones making or generating revenue, you got to understand that that's why so much attention is put on them. But I love the fact that they're making sure, with that attention being focused on football and basketball and the true revenue generating sports, they're not going to leave behind women's and Olympic sports, because that's not the answer either. And it's good that they're trying to include that to prevent that from happening. So I'm definitely very happy that they mentioned something about that, because there's a lot of good sports that maybe don't generate revenue, and there's a lot of great young athletes that also deserve those opportunities. They should not be cut short because of money. Even though I get it, they might not be making it, but they've always been provided those opportunities, and hopefully they continue that, which it sounds like they will be for sure. And then talking about basically punishing schools that do not abide or comply with these rules. So there you have it. Chase, I want to get your opinion, man, or Reed, if you're back there, whoever's behind the glass. What do you guys think about this? I mean, are you in favor of this executive order? What are y'all's thoughts?
I think when you have, President Trump on it, I think it's legit. You know, the leader of our nation, someone that's getting the attention of what's going on and what's driving college sports crazy. The only thing that I'm nervous about is the restricts athletes to one transfer per 5 year period. You think about the whole COVID situation, how chaotic that was and how it threw everything off. What's to say if another pandemic comes up or if something else comes up to a fray where, you know, athletes are suing schools? Like, it's not, I feel like we've opened up a door that it's gonna be hard to shut. And even with this executive order that Trump signed, you still break the question, what else do we have to worry about? Because I don't think anybody, maybe there are some people who are like, well, yeah, there are going to be issues along the lines. But, you know, I don't think anybody back then when this all got started was like, okay, well, now we got to worry about the transfer portal, NIL, how much that's going on, the revenue sharing. I feel like that number jumps up and down, up and down, up and down. Like, there's no order. You know, Christian, so that, like, maybe you have confidence in this as much as I do, but I'm scared that one of these screens I'm reading up on the Fox thing, it's going to employed. And then we're back to square one as to, like, where do we go from here, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and I'm sure there's still plenty more to iron out. I mean, you make a good point. And I think somebody mentioned the comments, kind of what I was saying, too. I mean, there's going to be pushback. Sounds like if you try to push back from the university level, I mean, they're going to cut funding or something. So, I mean, that's going to definitely deter them from doing that, I'd imagine. But best believe there's probably going to be some independent lawsuits from athletes. So there's going to be something that comes up. But I think this is hopefully a step in the right direction. And we've been talking about all these things needing to be done. And it sounds like this whole order includes, I think it covers pretty much everything we've really been, you know, driving home about. It's just kind of funny. I've seen, and not a whole bunch, but I've seen, you know, some of the pushback from people making it seem like it's like, oh, these people want to jump in and keep these guys from this. I'm like, no, I really don't think it's that. It's just trying to create order, try to, you know, establish parity or maintain parity and try to, you know, I don't know, protect college athletics as a whole. That's why you see them mention the women's and Olympic sports, man. I think it's just trying to have a system that is regulated and not just a Wild West system. Listen, again, I'll end on this. It's not to hold players back, but even in the professional leagues, you don't see players. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some situations, but I mean, you don't see people saying, hey, we need a house, we need this, we need that. I mean, the contracts are what they are. I mean, there's rules, there's regulations, and it works just fine. You know, I think that's just kind of what they're working towards here with college athletics. That'll do it for us on this Monday edition. We got to get out of here and wrap things up. We'll be back for a Talking Tuesday, joined by Clint Lamb. And plus, we'll be talking about some practice. I think tomorrow they might have an open practice, so we'll have plenty of media and things will be breaking down right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll see you guys then.